It's 2023 and we are in the early stages of the new year. And perhaps you've taken some time over the Christmas period or perhaps over the little first part of new year period to maybe set some goals about what you want to do this year. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Perhaps you want to get fit or you want to worry less or you want to save more. Perhaps you want to spend more time with your family and less time at work. Perhaps you want to spend some more quality time with God. Maybe you want to learn a new skill. Be more brave, perhaps, when you tell people about Jesus. Perhaps you want to do a project on your house. Or maybe you just want, like I do and Erica did, we just want to move into our new house. That would be good. That's the goal. That'd be lovely if we could do that. There are so many different things that we could set our goals for. The new year is always a time to reset, to refocus, and to move forward. Does everybody like New Year? Like New Year? It's good to set new goals. Trouble is we often start out with the best of intentions. That's all right. That's just the toy. That's all that was for a minute. Okay. The trouble is we often start with our best intentions, but life can sometimes get in the way, can't it? And what seems like an attainable goal can soon become a distant memory as we either give up too quickly when things get hard or just the business of life gets in the way or just overwhelms us. We make excuses. We miss out perhaps for another year or until we think it's time to reset. But what if it doesn't have to be that way? What if those goals don't have to be something out of reach, but are attainable? And this year we can achieve more than we ever thought possible. What if the moments of triumph, excitement, and successes, and despite the struggles, the temptations, and the challenges, and the pain, you can find joy? You can find contentment. You can find fulfillment and you can find peace. What if in 2023 you could have the best year yet? Maybe even your best year ever. Would you like that? Would you like your best year ever? I certainly would. I'd love my best year ever. The good news is it can and it will if we're willing to set our priorities straight. If we're willing to put in the effort that is needed. Back in September, that seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? We started a series called Call to Action, When Words Are Not Enough. Which was a series which took us through the book of James and looked at what it means to live a life that is active in faith rather than being passive. God's called us to be a people of action because playing it safe can no longer be an option. He's calling us to live for Christ, not just in theory or in word, but just to back it up also with action. Now the book of James, if you've read it, and obviously for those who've been here, you'll have read it over the weeks, it's full of practical insight into how we can do this. From facing temptation, to controlling the tongue, to asking God for wisdom, to catch, and many other things as we started back in September. If you want to listen back to any of those sermons, they're all online on our website. You can do that, www.ianchristiancentre.com/series. Or slash sermons, and you'll find those there, and you can catch up on anything, any ones that take your fancy particularly. So today, we're doing the final part of the series today. And I believe that it is a great way for us to close the series, but also for us to have a launch pad into the new year. And I believe if we grasp all of these principles in this last bit of James, it will lead us towards having the best year yet. If you've got your Bible, would you turn with me to James chapter 5? James chapter 5 and verses 13 to 20. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 20 says this. Are we ready? Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning as we continue and finish this series, Call to Action, when words are not enough. An active rather than a passive faith. You see, I believe this morning that the answer to having the best year yet is making sure that this year is a year of prayer. This year for you and for me. If we want the best year yet, starting it off in the best way is making this a year of prayer. Now, when I mentioned the word prayer, some of you would have said to me already or thought and said, well, I know that already. I know that I should pray. Others of you would go, those that are prayer warriors, intercessor, would go, yes, we'll have some of that, a year of prayer in our lives. And you'd be wanting that for everybody else in this room as well. Others of you might be going, oh no, not prayer. I really struggle with that. How am I going to deal with that? If I'm meant to be a person who prays in my own time and makes that a solid part of every day, I really struggle with that. I don't know what to say. Why does it have to be prayer that you've said this morning? But this is the reason why we need it. Prayer is a key component to you having the active rather than passive faith that we've talked about over the last 4 or 5 months. Prayer helps us to communicate with God, to involve him in our lives and to see his power at work in us. Simply, if we don't pray, we miss out on the much needed intimacy with him. And that's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? Intimacy and relationship with the living God, do you agree? It's not just about coming to church on a Sunday, as much as it's nice to see you. I don't just come here to see you. I'm here because I believe that God wants to meet with me. And I believe that God wants to meet with you and that we're to communicate with him. And one of those ways is through prayer. I love what John Piper says about prayer. He says, prayer is the open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. Prayer is an expression of faith in God's power, fueled by a desire for more of him. More of him is what I would suggest we need this year. More of him. If you want a title for my sermon this morning, you could probably simply say, pray, pray, pray. That's probably about as expansive as I've gone this morning with that. Pray, pray, pray. And then, when you've stopped, pray a bit more. Because starting that way and doing that way and having that as your focal point and having relationship with God as your focal point will push you towards the best year ever. If you were to number in your head, I'm not going to ask you to be out loud and to kind of perhaps embarrass yourself. But if you were to number in your head on 1 to 10 how your prayer life is at the moment, how would you define it? Would you say 1, I'm struggling. 5, I'm kind of doing okay. Or 10, I'm close to him. I have a sense of what he's saying to me constantly. Perhaps you'd be somewhere in between any of those. If you're 1 this morning, and if you're, say, a 1 this morning and you're struggling, simply say to you, don't give up. If you're a 5 this morning, say kind of it's okay. I say also don't give up. And I'd say, if you're doing a 10, keep pressing in. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how great your prayer life is with God, there's always more. You can't outgive, you can't outtake from God. He is the God who gives us more and abundantly. So keep pressing on. Most of us, if we're honest, will probably float up and down the scale during any particular seasons of life. And at times we may feel like giving up because we're not getting anywhere. But I tell you this morning, the worst thing you could possibly do this morning is to give up on praying. It's the worst thing we could possibly do. Because if we're not praying, we're not having that opportunity to connect with God in that way. It is key, yes, the Bible verses, and they're really important. But prayer and Bible study and God's word go hand in hand together. If anyone has given up, and I don't know, because it's quite a private thing when we think about prayer. If anyone's given up or on the verge of giving up, I want to just challenge you this morning to stop, refocus, and go again. You might say, yeah, but my prayers aren't being answered. You might say, I don't know what to say. But I say keep going. God doesn't keep an account of how well we pray. Talk to him in whatever way you feel is right. But communicate with him. Don't give up. Please don't give up. Keep pressing in. God sees your heart. He loves you. He loves to hear from you, even if you don't feel like you're doing very well with that connection. See, prayer is not about setting a set number of words. It's not about the posture you take, whether you're kneeling down, whether you're standing, whether you've got your arms raised, whether you're lying prostrate on the floor. It's not about fancy words. You might hear some people at times praying fancy words at the front and asking God to do different things, pastors or prayer team or whatever, but that doesn't mean their prayers are any more effective than yours. They're just using the words that they have. You use the words that you have. It's about communicating with your Saviour, your friend. It might be a prayer before you start a big day. It might be journaling prayers in your book. It might be talking to him as you wash up, going for a prayer walk, praying some scripture, words of scripture. Or it might be simple as praying with your kids. That's a great thing to do, you know, all those parents out there, praying with your kids. Tell you what, your kids could teach you a thing or two. If you feel like you're going stale, your kids can teach you a thing or two about connecting with God. Whatever is best for you, just don't give up. James understood the importance of a person's prayer life, and so he wrote to encourage the Jews of the time who, as we've looked at over the last months, they were struggling. They were in a difficult situation where they were struggling how to practically outlive their faith against the backdrop of an unbelieving world. They've been scattered. They've been persecuted. And now they were trying to live in a foreign environment and trying to see how their faith came into action. So James gave them the keys. It's why this book is so important, because the same things they faced then, we face now. In this scripture we've looked at this morning, there's 6 times that James talks about and commands us to pray. Each time prayer is mentioned in the original language of this scripture, it's in the imperative, it's a command. So James pretty much was commanding those that he was writing to do this. If you want to have an active faith, if you want to be close to God, do this. Which would suggest kind of the audience at the time were perhaps weren't praying as they should. Perhaps they were, as the previous chapters have said, they were struggling. Perhaps they were being tempted to kind of compromise and do all different kinds of things and do things their own way. They were struggling perhaps with the lack of power to overcome and to truly live out that active faith. So 6 times this morning, and we'll try and go through these as best as quickly as we can. First of all, if you're making notes, the first prayer that we're called to do, or the command to pray in this way, is we need to pray when we struggle. Pray when we struggle. How many of you struggle? Good to know it's not just me. If I could put two hands up, I probably would. Sometimes I struggle. Perhaps you hit times of difficulty in a relationship. Perhaps you're worried about finances. Perhaps you're concerned about your children. Perhaps you're lacking motivation. Perhaps you're struggling with your thoughts or your mental health or so many other things. Now, many of you, if you know me and my wife and our family, you'll know that Hannah struggled in the last few months with something that we might end up getting to the bottom of, but something that caused Erica and I a significant amount of heartbreak, I guess, or just struggle. When you see your kids struggle, you just don't like to see that, do you? And she got really, really angry. I know you wouldn't necessarily think that, because she's lovely, and she is lovely. But there are just times where she would just flip a switch, and she would just go very, very angry. We try and say to her, "What's the problem?" Or, you know, and she just wouldn't do it. She would do all kinds of things. We wouldn't get to it. It doesn't matter about that. But the point is, she was struggling. And we used to, Erica and I would pray in, and we would just pray for her. And then we'd try and encourage her to pray, and it just wasn't happening. We shared a few guys, and there's lots of ladies praying for us, and all kinds of stuff. And then one day, I took Hannah into school with the boys on a particularly bad occasion. And she kind of was really angry. I didn't know if she had, to be fair, she does go into school, but she just... like anyone was coming near her, she would, you know, I'd just like leave her just for now. She just needs a bit of time. Anyway, she went in, she came out of school. I think it must have been, I might have been picking her up for some reason. She came up to me and she said, "Daddy, you know what I did today?" I was like, "No, glad to see you in a good mood." She said, "I prayed." I said, "Did you?" She said, "I prayed." She said, "I went to the bathroom." She said, "Before school, I thought I need to kind of try and deal with myself." Paraphrasing, she prayed. She said, "You know what, Daddy, what happened?" Instantly, she said, "I felt better." I was like, "You know what? That kind of happens. You pray." And I think particularly kids, they want to see that prayer works, so God just does it. After the thing, just to see. And she's like, "I did it." She said, "I was fine." Then, over the next few months, we suddenly realised it. So we were having, probably with Hannah Watts, probably sometimes every day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes a full week of it, sometimes not quite so much that, but just literally going off and, you know, and just, yeah, fireball. We suddenly started realising that things weren't happening. It's like we went through a day and nothing happened, and then we went through a couple of days and nothing happened. Then we had mentioned, we saw, and she's like, We were like, she had it, and then suddenly she would go really, really supersonic, go upstairs, and suddenly she'd be calm. So I spoke to her and I said, "What's happening?" She said, "I'm praying, Daddy, more quickly. I'm praying more quickly." I'm like, "Man, that's amazing. You're praying more quickly." I had a headache the other week, and she was like, and I was like, "Oh man, this really hurt me." She said, "You know what, Daddy, you should do what I do." She said, "You should pray." I'm telling the pastor to pray. Excellent. Kind of fills you up with kind of emotion, but the point is that every one of us struggles. When you struggle, pray. She would say to you, if she was here last week, she did a little testimony, it was great, and she was down there and she said it. She prays. Stuff happens. She struggles. It's not saying it's perfect. Man, it's not perfect. Nowhere near. But she's doing something. Let me encourage you with that. Let me encourage you with that this morning. When you struggle, who do you turn to? Do you turn to a family member? Do you turn to a financial advisor? Do you watch a YouTube video or read a book? Do you talk to a doctor? Do you look inward and try and sort things out in your own strength? Or do you complain and feel sorry for yourselves? I'm sure we all have those moments when we complain and feel sorry for ourselves. Truth is that none of these things in the long run will help. The Jews James were writing to were doing these things rather than focus on prayer. So he commands them to pray. Not after we've exhausted all other ports of call or all other avenues, but as the first port of call, when you struggle, you pray. Why? Because God knows what we need even before we say it to him. Matthew 6:8. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. But he loves to hear from you when you ask him. Going back to that other bit just for a second. Hannah just totally changed. Just totally changed. Doesn't mean that she doesn't have those struggles, but she knows how to deal with them. Even yesterday she had one. I said, pray. She said, no, I'm not praying. Oh. And then about 2 minutes later, she was like, praying, she was fine. See, because kids don't always want to do what their dad's telling them to do, what their mum's telling them to do. But she knows that it works. So when you struggle, if there's anyone struggling now, even if you find it difficult to pray, say, pray. Pour out your heart to God. When you struggle, pray. Some of you are struggling this morning. Pray. Simple, but effective. Why struggle through moments or seasons of difficulty on your own when you can take your issue to God in prayer? Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Secondly, pray when you struggle, but you also pray when you're happy. Pray when you're happy. Verse 13, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. We may be fairly good at praying when we struggle, but what about when things are going well, when you feel on top of the world? Do you acknowledge God's goodness? Do you tell him what's going on? Do you rejoice with your Saviour? Or do you start believing in your own hype? Do you start believing it's something you've done? We need to pray of praise, a prayer of praise. You see, all good things result are a result of God's goodness to you. And he without doubt deserves our thanks and praise. Psalm 107:21-22, let them give thanks for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all men. Let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Next time you experience some good news, big or small, and you feel happy, why not take 15 seconds, 10 seconds just to say thank you. Thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you for finally getting me a house move date. That's kind of a prophetic one from me. Thank you, Jesus, for the date we're going to get this week. But it could be, thank you for that my kids slept through the night. Thank you that the exact money I needed came through the door to pay my bills. Thank you for my child star of the week. Thank you for that job promotion or that opportunity to just tell somebody about Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Singing praise is a form of prayer that forms in the depths of our hearts. When we thank him for his goodness and for the joy he's bestowed upon us. When we're happy and things are going well, we are actually in danger of perhaps forgetting God and forgetting what he's done. So let's make sure we don't at the beginning of this year. When good things happen, let's make sure we thank God. I'm not saying you don't do that, but I'm saying let's make sure we make that a thing throughout the year. In the good times this year, let's make it our goal to praise God as well as the bad times. Psalm 103:2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. There's many. You see, I believe this morning that praise and prayer should be the mindset of each of us. Whether we're suffering, whether we're happy, or whether we're just kind of middle of the road getting on with life. It should be our mindset. Because at the end of the day, our Christian faith is about relationship with him. That is what it is in a nutshell. You and him walking hand in hand through your life. Thirdly, I might take some water in a minute and start to get a little bit dry through. Pray when you're sick. Pray when you're sick. Verse 14 and 15, is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. How are you when it comes to asking for prayer. We're probably in one or two camps, I'd suggest. We're open to get prayed for by others. We know we can't do it ourselves, so we ask for help. That'd be one camp. The other camp is we close ourselves off because we don't like the feeling of being vulnerable and people knowing our business. So which camp do you find yourself in this morning? My wife is smiling. I'm not going to say what side of the camp she's on. What side of the camp are you on this morning? When it comes to prayer, comes to sharing, asking for prayer when you're sick. James commands us to pray when we're sick. But rather than focusing on personal prayer, though it still is good, he commands us to go to others for prayer, specifically to call upon the elders. This verse has often caused confusion because it's often assumed that sickness referred to here is physical sickness. Now, the word sick in this context means one who lacks strength and is weak. This can refer to physical sickness, but it can also mean one who is lacking spiritually, ethically, emotionally, or morally. It includes and encompasses a whole array of things, not just your physical body. So what James is saying is that therefore, whether a believer is weak spiritually, physically, or emotionally, it shouldn't be something we struggle with on our own, but rather share and be prayed for. What I find interesting about James' command to ask for prayer is that we have to make the first move. Verse 14 says, she should call the elders. What does that mean? It means you making the first step. Sometimes the biggest challenge in making the first step is to admit you need help. Being brave and vulnerable, admitting your need can be quite scary, but God sees your heart. It's sad, I believe, in my lifetime of being a minister so far, it's sad how many of us can miss out on breakthrough because we're unwilling to make the first step. You see, there are people that might even know that you need prayer. You might be able to see it. You might even be able to see that someone needs prayer, but they're unwilling to do it because they're unwilling to make that first step. James then goes on to say that the elders will pray, those in spiritual leadership and authority over us, over the believer, to pray and to bring about restoration, to anoint the believer with oil. For what purpose? There are two main views about oil. Is that oil was used in biblical times was about being medicinal to help bring healing. And the second view, and perhaps seems a little more likely, it symbolises that of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the setting apart of the believer to God. So if you need to be prayed for, if you've got an issue physically or any other, the command is for you to be vulnerable and to share and to be prayed for. It just might make the whole difference. Fourth, pray by faith, or prayer by faith. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he's sinned, he'll be forgiven. This verse seems to suggest that when prayers are prayed by faith, that sick people become better instantly. But that's not always true, is it? We probably all experienced firsthand or heard of experience when this doesn't happen. Does this mean you have a lack of faith or sin? No. So at times it can hinder our prayers. But more often it means God in his wisdom has decided to do things differently to the way that you expect. See, it's not your job or my job to bring the healing. It's our role to believe by faith and trust God will bring the healing as we pray, but understanding that ultimately his ways and not our ways, his thoughts and not our thoughts, as we read right at the beginning in Isaiah 53, didn't we? But what we can be sure of is this: he will do all things for our good because he loves you. I think I'm on fire now, is that fine? Prayer of confession, prayer to confess. Verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Confessing our shortcomings to others is probably one of the most difficult things that we might do as a believer. It makes us feel inadequate because it means we have to admit to ourselves that we fall short of God's standards, that we're still in need of his grace, and that we're not perfect. People would often rather struggle in the background, pretend everything is okay, than to be open and honest because of the fear of being judged, ridiculed, or rejected. But to have an active, not passive faith, we need to confess. We don't have a choice. We need to confess to one another. Prayer of confession comes in two parts. The first and foremost is we bring our sin and our failures to God and we ask for his forgiveness. Because he's the most important. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, 6 says, for is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's the first and foremost. But if you stop there, you miss out. You need to bring things out in the open. The second part is that James mentions in verse 16 is often neglected. To confess to one another. See, in confessing to one another our shortcomings, we're bringing to light our sins or situations, our failures. We're being accountable. And then we're also admitting that we need victory. When we do this, the power of sin and the circumstance is broken. And we can make a positive change with God's help. We should never underestimate the power of believers praying together. It's powerful. It's effective. But there is a note of caution that you probably know already, but I will say this anyway. It's important we confess to the right people. That we confess to people we trust. Those who are mature in faith. Who are righteous, that they understand it's Jesus, not our own abilities, that have made us right before God. We want people who are more intent on seeing you break free than using what you've said as the latest bit of gossip. You need to know and use the right people that you trust to share. Galatians 6 verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You see, we want to be able to be a people that guide people to freedom in Christ. When we pray together with a friend, a family member, a prayer team, and we both have sincerity of heart, filled with faith, compassion and love, and we see a repenting and realigning of ourselves with God, great healing can take place. Sixthly, did you realise this morning that when it comes to prayer, that you can be powerful in prayer? Did you realise that? It's not your skills, it's not your abilities that make you so, but it's the power of God working through, in and through you. Verse 17 and 18, James shares an example of a person who's effective in prayer. His name was Elijah. A man who prayed diligently and saw great answers to prayer. Verse 17 to 18 says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. How cool is that? I've always thought that. How cool is that prayer? Praying to God and God just stops the rain. But he's diligent in his prayers. This man, though, was not a superhero. But an ordinary man, as the scripture says, who saw extraordinary things happen because he gave himself to God wholeheartedly above all else and made prayer an essential weapon in his armoury. Prayer is a weapon, ladies and gentlemen. A weapon for good. A weapon to overcome strongholds, spiritually, practical situations. Prayer is powerful. We too should be men and women who are powerful in prayer. And actually, there's nothing that stops you from doing that. There's not a specific thing that James says. He just says that Elijah was a normal man. Are we normal this morning? Are you normal? If you're normal, we've got a good chance of being powerful in prayer. Let's remember that. So in conclusion, as we draw our series to a close, and I don't know about you, but I've loved the series. It's kind of been a bit hit and miss over the last few weeks with Christmas and stuff. But I hope that you've got something, grabbed hold of something, of what it means for you to be active rather than passive in your faith. As we draw to a close, two verses, 19 and 20 of the James 5 says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone would bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin." Life is full of pitfalls, opportunities to sin, to compromise faith. Not many people, though, purposely choose to outright disown God. Generally, it's a more of a wandering over a period of time, which starts with one straight step. As believers, we need to keep an eye out for one another, and we need to keep an eye out on ourselves. We need to build healthy relationships to have that accountability. We need to pray for one another and seek to show each other the error of our ways before it's too late. Because it really is a matter of life or death. As we embark on a new year and as we seek to become a people who put their faith into action rather than just living a passive existence where our Christianity is nothing more than a footnote, may we choose this year in 2023 to make prayer our foundation in all seasons, whether it's praying when we struggle, praying when we're happy, praying when we're sick, praying in confession, praying by faith or with power. May we realise that in doing so, we are connecting and setting ourselves up for the best year yet. Because prayer connects us to God in a way that nothing else can. And when you're connected with God, the impossible can happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together, shall we?